Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
To fill us, to be in us, to be with us. All these descriptions are an attempt to express somehow the totality of God's purpose in our lives. He never wants us out of his sight. So he wants us to know we're never out of his sight. There's never a moment in the day when he does not know. He knows what you're thinking. He knows everything you say. He knows your heart motives and attitudes. Now, of course, if you're not walking with God, that's a threat. You think, he knows what's going within me. But if you're walking with the Lord, then you realize this is your greatest asset and the absolute heart of your security in God. That there's not a moment of time when you're out of his mind, out of his sight, out of his love. Faith is realizing that and acting accordingly. It's knowing that it doesn't matter what God calls you to do, you won't be alone in it. I mean, some of you have heard me give my one-sentence testimony of my life. God constantly asking me to do things I cannot do and then enabling me to do them. That's how we can so often know God's purpose. Because he wants us to walk by faith, he will keep putting before us things we cannot do. Because you don't need faith for things you can do. So he is constantly stretching us. We like, in the natural, we like to keep to our comfort zone. And our comfort zone is doing things that we know we can do or trusting God in ways in which we've been able to trust him before and see him come good. The things that stretch us and enlarge us and increase us are when God puts before us those things that take us right beyond our comfort zone. And we feel powerless, if we're honest. But we know we're not powerless because he is at our right hand. We not only have his power within us, but he says, well, I'm with you in it. Let's go through it together then. Now, is God putting us before us something that we can't do this week as we begin to think of the days of meeting with God that are coming up Thursday to Sunday? The answer to that is we will miss the purpose of God if we don't realize that he is putting something before us we can't do. Because if that was not the case, we wouldn't need faith, and so the whole thing would be a waste of time. So God's purpose is to stretch us, to take us beyond where we've been. Hello? You see, one of the ways in which Christians deceive themselves is by saying, we've got it all. Now, why is that deception? On the one hand, it is true, or sounds true. God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Jesus has come to give us fullness of life. We have the anointing from the Holy One. We are already sanctified. We have been made perfect forever. We can quote all the scriptures about our rightful position and inheritance in Christ, and every one of them are true. But you see, one of the things that Paul was faced with was this attitude. Well, we've got everything. Everything is possible for us. Because there's a sense in which when Christians start to say that to themselves, they end up in unreality. What God is concerned about is not simply that you know your inheritance, because he knows your inheritance, but how much of that inheritance you're taking hold of and are living in. You see, it's right that we all are anointed. We have the anointing of the Holy One. That anointing remains. But God has been saying to me recently that the anointing bears fruit, but fullness produces harvest. And God is speaking to us about harvest, and harvest is different from simply bearing fruit. Harvest speaks of a great infilling of the kingdom of God. Many people, multitudes being brought into the kingdom. Now, if we could see the multitudes coming in with our present anointing, the multitudes would already be coming in. If we could produce the harvest simply by constantly proclaiming that this is going to be a year of harvest, then at least we would have seen the beginning of the harvest, because we proclaimed it so much at the end of last year and the beginning of this. Something has to happen to produce the harvest. We have to do stuff, because you won't get a harvest without the harvesters. And Jesus tells us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send harvesters into the harvest fields. So we sure are not going to be able to sit back and just pray for the harvest. God will be using us. But the question is, what does God need to do to turn the anointing into fullness and the fruitfulness into harvest? You would say the kingdom of faith is fruitful, but we could not claim that we're living in harvest at this moment. We're proclaiming it, we're speaking it, we're believing it, because it's God's word to us. But just speaking it in and of itself won't produce it. A person can keep speaking and confessing his healing, but he's still got to get healed. And he can have a right attitude towards his infirmity so that he sees himself as healed, but he still actually has to receive the healing. Something actually has to happen in his life and in his body. Just confessing it is not a replacement for the event, but it expresses a faith that the event will take place. Whether it's in a moment of time or over a period of time, the healing process still has to actually happen. There is no conflict between seeking God and going in His name. Both are necessary. And God knew that. It always amazes me in the opening chapters of the book of Acts. Here you've got the church being exceedingly fruitful. You would even say harvest. I mean, 3,000 and 5,000 sounds sort of harvest numbers rather than fruitful numbers. Hello? And the power of God was obviously at work. They were seeing mighty miracles like the healing of the cripple at the temple gate. They were being bold. They were going out. They were preaching. They were getting arrested for their trouble, thrown into prison, getting miraculously released. And yet, the whole sort of climate in which they were preaching the gospel encouraged them to seek God still more. They didn't say, oh, well, praise God, the revival has begun. Now we can just enjoy the harvest. So in chapter 4 of Acts, we have this time when they're all meeting together and they're praying. They're praying that they will have more boldness. We may preach your word with boldness. Well, I mean, they're out there getting arrested and thrown into prison, coming out of prison, going back and preaching. And they say, we need more boldness. So they were going out doing the stuff, but they were in the prayer room seeking God. They were crying out to God. We need to see your hand stretched out to heal. Well, the cripple at the temple gate wasn't a bad one. You'd like to have that in your portfolio. It's part of your testimony. And God wants you to have a portfolio of miraculous healings. By the time you get to my age, you should be able to write several books of the miracles that you have seen God do. Because He says anyone who has faith will do the same thing. As I have done. So you should have begun your portfolio of miracles already. Amen. Not for your esteem, but for God's glory. So we need to have that expectation. Wonderful, wonderful miracles. Numerous, countless miracles. But you see, they were praying, Lord, we need more boldness. Lord, we need to see your hand stretched out to heal. We need to see you performing miraculous signs and wonders. Now, they prayed that in addition to the healings, you see. What is a sign? Sign is a sign of God's presence. It's a sign that He's with you. It's a sign that you're speaking in His name. It's a sign that because you're there, the power of God is released. So wonderful supernatural things happen. Signs and wonders. Not just the healings, but everybody should be wondering at how these things are happening because you're around. wondering how the circumstances of their lives could suddenly be affected in the way that they have. They might not recognize that it's God, but you would know that it's God, and you can explain to them that was God. Why? Because God's people are living in the supernatural. So, the scripture is very clear. Now, I want to just take you through a few verses in the Psalms that lead up to that verse that we've just read about the Lord being with us. If you go to Psalm 8, which I read just a few minutes ago, faith believes what God says. I said faith believes what God says. Come on. Wake up. God has got some serious business here to do this morning. He's not talking to dreamy people that are just listening to another talk. Now, what does he say in verse 5 about man? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Now, the first thing you believe is that you're crowned with glory and honor. No, I mean you believe it. You don't just say amen because it's there in the book. But you believe that today you walk with the Lord who is at your right hand, crowned with glory and honor. So that in what you do, his glory can be revealed and he will be honored. Amen. Are we alive now? Yes. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. God has been talking to us about ruling. Right now, being crowned with glory and honor goes with ruling. You're not going to be very good at ruling if you don't realize you've got a crown. Because ruling talks about having dominion. And therefore, if you have dominion, you are crowned. God has crowned you with glory and honor. Look, it's there in the book. Not you will crown him, but you've crowned him with glory and honor. Man sinned and fell short of that glory, but the glory has been restored to you because you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're saved, you're in Christ and he is in you. Hallelujah. It's time to wake up. It's time to be stirred up. It's time to stir yourself up, to stir your spirit up, to stir up the gift that is within you. Say, this is a week that's going to transform the rest of my life. Because I'm going to meet with God this week. God is going to get hold of me like he's never been able to get hold of me before. I'm going to be in a different place by next Tuesday than I am now. Because I've got days of encountering God before me. You've put everything under his feet. So if you've got a ruling mentality, you know everything is under your feet. You're crowned with glory and honor. The Lord is at your right hand. You are called to rule and everything is under your feet. How can you fear the problem that confronts you if you believe it's under your feet? That means you trample over it. God has set you above your problems. Not you need to rise above them. He's put you in a place where the problems are beneath your feet. Hallelujah. If you go on to Psalm 9, sometimes God begins to speak to me through a verse of a psalm, and then I look at the next psalm, and the next psalm, and the next psalm. And before I know where I am, I'm having a wonderful time with God. Verse 10 of Psalm 9, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Not those who once sought you, but now they've got everything. They don't need to seek you anymore. No. Those who seek to be in the place with you where you want them to be, where they have hold of you and you have hold of them, where they're walking, we're crowned with that glory and honor, where they know that they have trampled all over the things that you have put under them because you have called them to rule. And you, the King of Kings, are at their right hand to enable them to do so. And so, Lord, they continually seek you, to seek to be in that place with you where they can live in fullness, not just anointing, where they can see harvest, not just fruit. Are we getting there? For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You see, there's this continuous process in the Christian life. It isn't about just making decisions and going off and doing your best. It's living in relationship with Him. So you walk with Him because He is at your right hand. You live in the power of the Spirit because He lives within you. And you go on seeking the Lord so that He never forsakes you. That in every situation you seek God answers, not your answers. And He never forsakes you. What does that mean? It means He never leaves you. Never leaves you alone. Never leaves you to your own devices. I learned years and years ago to thank God every time I failed. Failure is a wonderful thing. Failure is a gift from God. Because God, in His wonderful mercy, love, and wisdom, allows us to fail when we don't trust Him. And every failure says to you, you didn't trust God. Because He doesn't fail, has never failed, doesn't know how to fail, and you're not His first failure. So I thank God that He lets us fail. And listen, when you fail, don't try to make out you didn't fail. Own up to the fact you did fail. Ask the Lord to forgive you and then have godly success instead. There are so many pastors, leaders, and other ordinary folk who every time something goes wrong, they try to justify, well, of course, that's the way the Lord led us. You know, they're like politicians who are never wrong. I mean, two things you can tell about a politician. One is he never will give you a straight answer to a straight question. And second, he will never admit he was wrong. Government is never wrong. I mean, parliamentary question time is a farce every week. No politician ever answers the question he's asked. He just slags off the other party. Ridiculous. But we've got a Lord with us who's got answers. And He is not a politician who tries to squirm out of things. He says, well, trust me and you will succeed. You will not fail. I thank God for the testing time we've been through financially. I mean, if you can't thank God for it, you're not being obedient, because the scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances.
Amen.
So you've got to be thankful that we've gone through this period of time. Right. I would much prefer not to have done, but I'm thankful for it. Why? Because it shows us how we've been failing. God hasn't failed. His promises haven't failed. We've been failing. And if we fail, then we can look failure straight in the face, acknowledge it, admit it, and get forgiven for it, and let God bring us through to a new place of faith so that we succeed. God is not late.
Absolutely.
We can be late, but he can't be late because he's the one that determines the timetable. Praise God. God is not like British Rail. Isn't that comforting? For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I want a seeking heart all the time, don't you? Because the scripture says, go on seeking and you will find. It's continuous in the Greek. Then if we just move on to Psalm 15. I mean, there's some good stuff in between, I want you to know. But it's just some certain things God spoke to me about this morning. Because he's still talking to us about faith and ruling, you understand? Yeah. Right there at the end of Psalm 15, it says, he who does these things will never be shaken. I want to be in that place where I'm never shaken. You know, when something arises, you're not shaken. When there's a sudden trauma, you're not shaken. When events don't turn out as you plan, you're not shaken. When people do things to you that you don't expect, you're still not shaken. You are never shaken. You might feel disappointed in how things turn out, but you're not going to be shaken. So he who does these things will never be shaken. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to dwell in the sanctuary. You see, these guys in the Acts of the Apostles, they were out there doing the stuff. Surely they were doing the stuff. But they were still in the holy sanctuary. They were meeting together every day. They were praying. They were seeking God. Are you there? What's the purpose of these coming days? Not just for us, but for the whole church. To draw aside to be with God. We're doing the business 365 days. But every now and again, God says, okay, draw aside, seek me, meet with me. Let me empower you. Let me do a new thing. He doesn't want to just talk to us about going and how to go. That's happening all the time. He says, no, now's the time to meet with me so you've got something different to go with. Because I've done a new thing in you. So you see, who is not going to be shaken? Well, the one who keeps pressing in there with God. Then in verse 2, the one who speaks what is true from the heart. God has been reminding us how important what we say is if we're going to walk by faith. There's no slander on his tongue. He does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow men. Why? Because he's putting a watch on his tongue. It's a fountain of life to everybody all around him. Amen. And he honors those who fear the Lord. Hello. He keeps his word. See, he keeps his oath, even when it hurts. He keeps his word. He's reliable. He's dependable. Because he's reliable and dependable, then he can rely and depend upon God and will not be shaken. He's not someone who makes empty promises. He's generous with the use of his money. He's not going to be shaken. Praise God. Then if you go on to Psalm 16, verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So, he knows where you're at now. He's assigned for you what is going on in your life now. Because that's the product of where you are in your relationship, in your faith, in your dependence upon him now. Are we there? But does God want you to stay where you are now? No, because if we moved on to Psalm 23, we know that he wants your cup overflowing. So he has assigned you the portion and the cup where you are now, but his vision for you is to have an overflowing cup. Now, what's an overflowing cup? An overflowing cup is the fullness. A cup cannot overflow unless it's full. You can spill it when it's half full, but it can't overflow until it's full. When a cup overflows, it means it cannot contain any more, so if you keep pouring into it, it will just overflow. So that's God's vision for you. You will just overflow because you can't contain any more of what he is pouring in. You just overflow. Now, some revivalists call living in revival as living the overflowing life. The fullness, you see, produces the harvest. So, you have made my lot secure. That doesn't mean you've got the right number for the national lottery. But it means, although if any of you have, that would be very welcome. But no, you're not to do the national lottery. Don't waste the Lord's money. But your lot is that which God has apportioned to you. He has made your lot secure.
Come on.
Now, what does that mean? It means that if you're living in the revelation of that, the enemy can't come and steal from you. He's the thief, isn't he? The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Now, that does refer to Rafi, but not only to Rafi. I mean, this is a pleasant place, isn't it? You're surrounded by beautiful countryside. You could be in the middle of some grotty city. But God has put you here as a parable that makes this word live for you. But his pleasant places are the places of his abundance. I mean, even if you were in the middle of a grotty city, it would be a pleasant place if Jesus was at your right hand. If you knew that the Lord was with you, that's what makes it a pleasant place. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I don't know if any of you are even understanding what I'm saying this morning. I don't know how you can sit there like that, you see. Because it doesn't say, I will have. It says, I have a delightful inheritance. What God wants me to do is to enter into, take hold of that inheritance. But what I discover, you see, is that I can only take hold of that inheritance in as much as I let God take hold of me. The more he takes hold of me, the more I take hold of that inheritance. The measure you give is the measure you get back. The more you give of yourself to him, the more of that inheritance you are able to enjoy. So I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. That sounds to me like someone who constantly seeks God. And who doesn't just sort of sit back and say, I've got it all. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. But he continually sets the Lord before him. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my tongue rejoices, not remain silent, you see. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. For you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because I think you missed it again. I think you missed it again. Look at it. Look at it. Look at these verses. Can you see what God is saying? That I shall be at your right hand now. And then you will be at my right hand forever. Amen. Didn't you spot it? You see, verse 8, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Then verse 11, you fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. If you let him be at your right hand, he will let you be at his right hand.
Yes, yes.
Now, what does that speak of? It speaks of him being at your right hand in what you're doing here and now. But every time you worship, you know you're at his right hand. Every time you seek God and get before God, you're at his right hand. Now, what's the significance of right hand? Well, I praise God I'm left-handed. I always think it's a sign of particular anointing. There are scriptures that can verify that, but we won't go into that now. But you see, I'm free to use my left hand because the Lord is at my right hand and I've taken hold of his hand and he's got hold of my hand. So I use my left hand because my right hand is already busy with Jesus.
That's good.
It's in Hezekiah 3:47. You can find it for yourself. Praise God. There are murmurs of dissent on the front row. They think I got the verse wrong. All right, verse 42. Praise God. But you see, this is a serious message. Joyful message, faith-filled message. But it's a serious message. Because I'm constantly doing things I'd much rather not have to do. But so long as I know he's at my right hand, there's nothing really to worry about.
It's good.
Amen. But I love the fact that, you know, in your relationship with God, you do this turn and turn about with him. You go and do the stuff, the business, and he says, I'm at your right hand. You come and worship, and you say, you're at his right hand. But what's the significance of right hand? Right hand is the place of honor. Now, I want to take you just to finish to the Last Supper. I'm a John freak, yes. Anybody discovered that?
Yes.
When people reclined at table, as they were at the Last Supper, because most people are right-handed, the custom is to lay on your left-hand side and eat with your right hand. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of lying this way. Okay, now, the one here could lean back and put his head on the chest of Jesus. The place of honor. Who was in that place at the Last Supper? Huh?
John.
Now, when a rabbi sat down to eat with his disciples, he always chose a particular person to be on his right-hand side. The place of honor. Do you know what that person was called? The servant. That was the rabbi's particular personal servant. Who does Jesus say the greatest in the kingdom, in the pecking order? Those who serve. So all these wonderful truths are truths about us. We can rule and reign. We are crowned with honor and glory. Glory and honor. And all the rest. And God says, I put you in the place of honor. I'm in the place of honor in your life because I'm at your right hand. And every time you worship and pray and come into my presence, I place you in the place of honor as my servant, my personal servant. I don't think you're getting this. You see, I don't think you're getting this. What he's saying is, I am at your right hand to serve you. But you see, when you worship, you're at my right hand to serve me. That's why don't shortchange him on the worship and on the prayer and on the seeking after him, because you're there to serve him. It's not, oh God, do a great mighty thing in me. No, Lord, I just want to serve you. I just want to worship you. I just want to glorify you. I just want my focus to be on you. Because I know then, Lord, you will be at my right hand when I go and do the business, when I go and do the stuff. If I spend time at your right hand, you will always be at my right hand. And as I learn to trust you, I won't fail. And I thank you that whenever you let me fail, it's because I forgot you were at my right hand, or I hadn't done the business at your right hand. Hello. Have you noticed that if you struggle to pray, you struggle, period. That when the prayer is flowing, the walk is easy. Have you discovered that? You're doing the business at his right hand. And it's easy because he is doing the business. Because he's at your right hand. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, so while we're here in the place of worship, you're at his right hand, right? To worship, to praise, to seek Him, to serve Him, just to serve Him, to honor Him. Come on, you can do that now. You don't have to stand there silent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paratabarasotori sato pakalasita di santuma. Varatabarasatari eledabakara sitri sandama. Varatabarasatari eledabakara sitri sandama. Varatabarasatari eledabakara sitri sandama. Varatabarasatari eledabakara sitri sandama. Yes, 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 yes. Borotabra Zataria Lero Bakara Sidri Santo Brotaba. O Ratapara Zataria Leraba. O Mamara Zataria Letu Bakara Sidri Sanduma. O Ratapara Zataria Letu Bakara Sidu. O rata para zatari eletu bakara sidri sanduma. O rata para zatari eletu bakara sidri sanduri satu bakara sidoba. Barata para zatari eletu bakara sidri sandu broto bakara sidoba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep serving Him. Just keep serving Him. Oh, pour out your heart to Him. He is so great. He is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, the boundary has fallen to you in pleasant places.
Hallelujah. He has opened up the way through the veil with His blood, with His body. A new and living way so that now you can worship at His right hand. In the place of honor as His personal servant. Thank Him that you're His personal servant. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so big, there's a lot of room for people to be at your right hand side. Thank you that we can lean our head against your breast. We can just trust in you, Lord, knowing that you won't push us away, knowing that you welcome us and draw us close to yourself. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you that you put us in that place at your right hand side, the place of your personal servant. Lord, I want to be like John. I want to be your personal servant, Lord. I want to be continually attending you, waiting upon you, Lord, always ready for whatever you want. Lord, just help. I always want to be ready, Lord, for what you want. Ready to go when you tell me to go. Ready to come when you tell me to come. Ready just to be with you and to be still and to know that you're God when that's what you want me to do. Lord, I always want to be ready just to be with you in whatever way you desire. And thank you, Lord, that when I do go, I'd never go alone, but you're always at my right hand because I've spent time at your right hand. I'm never alone. I'm never forsaken. You never forsake those who seek you. I thank you, Lord, for your enabling grace. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you that this week, Lord, we can spend days serving you, waiting on you, and then going out to serve you with you at our right hand. We can bless you, and then you will bless others through us. Lord, do something this week that will take us from fruitfulness to harvest. Lord, I want my cup to overflow. Lord, I just pray that what we have by faith confessed, we shall now see.
that somehow what you do in these coming days will mark the beginning of seeing the harvest. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Paparasa taparasitaria letupa. Barataparasataria letupa karasa. Barata parazatari eletupa. Oh Lord, there are thousands, Lord, that need to be saved around here. Not just a handful, but there are thousands. Thousands upon thousands, Lord. We want your life to overflow that thousands are saved. Thousands, Lord. Thousands to be crowned with your glory and honor. That, Lord, your glory is restored in those thousands of lives. I'm believing you for thousands, Lord, not just for a few dozen or a few hundred, but for thousands. That in this move of your Spirit, we see thousands saved and thousands added to your church. That, Lord, we were seeing so many saved, we would just have to plant one new church after another just to contain all the thousands that you're saving. But we don't want to limit you, God. We know that's the kind of God you are, the God who wants to save thousands. We don't want some mealy-mouthed, half-baked faith. We want the faith to see what you can see. To see what you are able to do, Lord. Lord, we know if we dare to believe it, you will do it. Thousands in this 25-mile radius. Dozens of new churches having to be started in the next few years to contain the thousands upon thousands that are being saved. We don't want to live in cloud cuckoo land, Lord. We're talking about what you are able to do. We're talking about, Lord, what will happen if you go with us. Yes, Lord, the ones and twos we may see saved through our personal witness will become thousands as they're all added up. Oh, Lord, just give us the faith to see it, to believe it, to move into it, Lord. Lord, I believe you're going to make it easy for us to talk about the gospel. Not just because we're bold, but because it gets known what you're doing. It's going to raise all kinds of questions in people's minds. And Lord, they will be ripe. They will be ready to hear the gospel, to receive your word. Lord, we want you to be the talk of the town.
that everybody all around this 25-mile radius is going to be talking about what Jesus is doing, talking about the miracles, talking about the transformed lives, talking about the healings. They won't have time to talk about people of other religions and interfaith, this, that, and the other. Everyone will be talking about Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're at our right hand so that we cannot be shaken, we cannot be moved away from your will and your purposes. Oh, Lord, your word says we cannot be shaken with you at our right hand. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I thank you that we're going to walk with such assurance. Oh, Lord, such faith, such confidence in you. Not living in presumption, Lord, but living in faith, seeing with open eyes what you are able to do. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And thank you, Lord, that you've called each one of us to be part of it. Thank you, Lord, that none of us is here by accident. Thank you that you intend to use every one of us as reapers in the harvest. That we're harvest in gatherers. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we don't want to pray for a series of meetings this week. We just want to meet with you. We want to meet with you today, at lunchtime today, and as we fast tomorrow, let it be a day of meeting with you, so that when we gather together as the church, everybody meets with you on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. As you just move in a new way, Lord, you captivate our hearts. You take hold of our lives. You just take hold of us, Lord, so we know we're in your grip. We're totally safe and secure. And yet at the same time, we can be in vulnerable situations and bear abundant fruit for your glory. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to thank God what he's going to do in you. And then what he's going to do with you. Literally, what he's going to do with you. Thank him that you're going to speak his word with boldness. You are going to see him heal. You are going to see those mighty signs and wonders. Thank him that God is going to create a wonderful CV for you. All the evidence of him being with you. Hallelujah. I just believe God's saying you're going to see that it'll be so easy because I'm with you. You're going to see people saved easily. And really saved, really saved. Not just making commitments, but really saved. Really born again, transformed lives. And it will be so easy. Hallelujah. So we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise. We bless your wonderful name. Thank you. It's all in your plan. It's all in your purpose. It's all in your timetable. And we just give you glory, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just give the Lord a great big thank you. Hallelujah.
So as you worship, just know you're at his right hand as you pray. And then he's always at your right hand as you go. Amen. See you at 1 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.